I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth, stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ, I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, Terry and Jesse Show. Two Catholics with a PhD in common sense, and this is where we engage the culture of death.
Amen.
With prayer, fasting, and full contact Catholicism. Terry, are you on duty?
I'm on duty, brother, and I'm excited about our guests coming on, and also tomorrow's show with Father Don Calloway on his new book, Consecration to St. Joseph. But this show today, we're going to be dealing a bit with some of the issues that what's going on in Iran. People are asking themselves, hey, should we have taken that terrorist out? I mean, what's the Catholic position on that? We're going to get to that. But more importantly, we're going to get to the Word of God, which we start every single show with, Jess. And this is the old feast of the Epiphany. But today's feast day is Brother Andre Bessette, who's a saint who started, he built the St. Joseph's Oratory in Montreal. We'll talk a little later about him. Jesse, we got the readings from today from Mark chapter 6. Would you like to share that, please?
Absolutely. Terry,
do you want to do the first reading?
Yeah, no. I was thinking about the first reading today. It's just got a lot of spiritual work.
Yeah, no, I kind of thought so, too. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's taken from John, right?
Yeah. Gospel of John, first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 22.
That's right.
Beloved.
Yep.
We receive from him whatever we ask.
Mm-hmm.
Because we keep his commandments.
Amen.
And do what pleases him. Notice.
That's what we do.
This goes against the reformers
mm-hmm.
who said that to get to heaven, you're justified by faith alone. You don't have to keep the commandments. So John answered Luther and Calvin right here. He says, and his commandment is this. We should believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded us. Ah, so notice, this is a universal call to salvation. This means Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, everybody's called to what? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is not just the Catholics.
Nope.
Okay? This is for everybody on planet Earth. And he says, those who keep his commandments remain in him, and he in them. And we know that he remains in us from the Spirit whom he gave us. In other words, you can lose friendship with God, or you can lose being in a state of grace by not following the commandments. We would call that mortal sin. Beloved, do not trust every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they belong to God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important verse. There's a lot of people that in the Catholic Church, they're always chasing apparitions, Terry.
And not only false prophets, we talk about even people who say that an angel, we say this, the Bible says, if an angel from heaven comes down and gives you a new gospel, don't follow him. Well, Mormonism, Islam, those are false, people. So
those are revelations from an angel, too,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, well, it's just not a good angel, yes?
Keep going. Exactly. We continue. It says, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ come in the flesh belongs to God. In other words, the incarnation, that's the key right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the devil rejected, the incarnation. So if it's of God, an angel is going to affirm the incarnation. It says, and every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus
mm-hmm.
does not belong to God.
Wow.
The word acknowledge also means confess in Greek.
Mm.
So everybody, every spirit that does not confess or acknowledge that Jesus belongs to God, that's a false spirit. Well, any religion that teaches that Jesus does not belong to God or does not come from God or is not the Son of God, that's a false message and a false spirit. It says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, who, as you heard, is to come, but in fact is already in the world. In other words, the Antichrist with a small a
yeah.
is any religion that denies the lordship and the sonship of Jesus Christ being the Son, the eternal Son of the eternal Father.
Yep.
It says, you belong to God, children, and you have conquered them. It's talking about demons. How do you conquer them? Here it says, for the one who is in you, who's in you? The Holy Spirit is greater than the one who's in the world. Who's in the world? The prince of darkness, the devil. So that's how you conquer the diabolical, is by knowing that the Holy Spirit lives in you and living it, as St. Paul says, living in the Spirit. He says, they belong to the world. Accordingly, their teachings belongs to the world. Who would we call those that belong to the world?
Secularists.
They're called secular humanists.
Got it, partner.
Secularist humanists.
Yep.
Those are people that say, the only thing that matters is what I can see with my eyes, what I can touch with my hands.
Yep.
This weekend's, you know, margarita, this weekend's a nightclub. That's the only thing that matters to me. That's a secular humanist. And the Bible says, and the world listens to them.
Yep.
Isn't that true?
That's so true.
Bill Maher, all these Hollywood actors and actresses, the rich and famous, and all these channels that take most of your TV guide. The world listens to them. All they talk about, look at me, look at my enhanced buttocks, look at my boobs, look at my, you know, facelift, look at my money, look at my cars, look at my big house, look at my mansion, look at me, look at my message, look at my songs. And guess what, Terry? The Bible says the world listens to them.
That's true.
And it says, now here's the juxtaposition. John the Apostle writes, we, who's that, the baptized, we that follow the followers of Christ, he says, we belong to God.
Amen.
And anyone who knows God listens to us.
Can you repeat that one more time?
And that's powerful. John the Apostle, writing from the island of Patmos, okay? All the apostles are pretty much dead at this point. Yeah. He's the last survivor. He dies an old man. He says, we belong to God. Who's he talking about? Talking about the baptized. And anyone who knows God listens to us. Well, who's he talking about listening to us? Because most of the apostles, if not all the 11, they're dead at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But he's using plural. Here's an apologetics point.
Yep.
He's saying, and anyone who knows God listens to us. Who's us? He's the last apostle on planet Earth. Well, shouldn't he be saying, well, I'm the only apostle left. Anybody who listens to God listens to me. No, he said listens to us because he knows that the church continues. His brother apostles have been martyred. Their office continues through bishops. And so that's why he's saying, if you listen to God, you listen to us. That's me and all the bishops that now replace the 11 dead apostles. So he's talking about the continuity of the Church of Jesus Christ, which is the Catholic Church. And then he says, well, anyone who does not belong to God refuses to hear us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I was excited about this.
Are you kidding me, Jesse? I'm fired up about it. And you know what, Jess? This is why that last statement, I had you read it before, but it says, anyone who does not belong to God refuses to hear us. You see, Jess, I'm not surprised when I speak about the pro-life message. I'm not surprised when I speak about contraception, our marriages being between a man and a woman, and the world doesn't want to hear us. We knew that ahead of time, but that doesn't stop us from proclaiming. I'll just give you one quick note. Last weekend, I spent time in the chapel with a young couple, not that young, but they had wanted to get married. The guy had been away from the church for 35 years. He went to Catholic school, 12 years of it. So I tried to encourage him to come back to the sacrament of confession. I followed up with him on phone calls, and he doesn't return my call. Guess what, Jesse? You know, when he has his exit interview, you know what I see, Jess? A film right now of me sitting in a church with this guy, giving him an opportunity to come back to Jesus Christ, and he freely said no. And I think our Lord's going to say, hey, dude, I sent this bald-headed old man to try and get you to come back, and you rejected. Now, I hope he still has time to come back, and I'm going to stay on top of it with my prayer life. But you see, Jesse, the world doesn't want this message we're giving, but that doesn't stop us from giving it.
That's right. Terry, tell us a little bit about
Brother Andrew
Bessette.
Oh, yeah, Brother Andre Bessette. Listen to this, folks. This man is St. Joseph's. He's my number one guy that helps me learn about St. Joseph. He had such devotion to St. Joseph. Here's what he did. He built the largest church in North America called the St. Joseph Oratory in Montreal, Canada. Get there. I've been there many, many times. I have a big statue in our church of Brother Andre. Here's the beauty of this man. He was a doorman. In other words, when people came to the door, he was one of the fathers that teach at Notre Dame, the what do you call those fathers? I can't even, I just lost my thought. But anyhow, he's one of those
Holy Cross fathers.
Yep, that's right, Jess. He taught it, and all of them teach at Notre Dame and other theater, other places like that. But here's the kicker. He wasn't that smart, okay, intellectually. So he would just introduce, say hello to people at the door, but people kept coming to him, and he had oil of St. Joseph that he was promoting to bless people. Miracle after miracle. And the last thing I can say is that in 1937 at his funeral, Jess, a million people came to thank him. Jess, I don't think a million people are going to come to your or my funeral, okay? If 50 people show up, I'd be shocked. If I can see it, I'd be shocked. But my point is a million people, and here's the point what Brother Andre said. We need to have a simple faith in God and ask St. Joseph, the protector of the family, to protect us and to lead us to Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow with Brother, with Father Don Calloway with his new book, Consecration to St. Joseph. So, Brother Andre, please pray for us. Jesse, one quick note. Fulton Sheen, I got 45 seconds to give it. It's a short one. This is so appropriate for that reading you just gave. The refusal to take sides on a great moral issue is itself a decision. It is a silent acquiescence to evil. The tragedy of our time is that those who still believe in honesty lack fire and conviction, while those who believe in dishonesty are full of passionate conviction. Not here at the Virgin Most Powerful Radio and the Terry and Jesse Show. We got passion. You know why? Because the truth is what sets people free. When we come back, Jess, what are we going to talk about? Tell us.
We're going to talk about Soleimani, the Iraqi politician and terrorist. He was taken out. We're going to talk about the morality of it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together, we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Leviticus 11:44 says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." St. Vincent Pilate said, "You must be holy in the way God asks you to be holy." God does not ask you to be a Trappist monk or a hermit. He wants you to sanctify the world and your everyday life. May God show us the path to holiness and help us to follow it all the days of our life.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio, we got the Terry and Jesse Show. I think we got Dan Schneider on.
Yep.
Dan, are you there? Is my buddy Dan Schneider
Mr.
on?
Mr. Engineer, you give us a thumbs up when he's in. Jesse, yeah. Let's set the stage for Dan when he comes on.
Sure, I'm sure he can hear us.
Yeah, so go ahead.
So here's what happened. Yeah. It's everybody's talking about
everybody.
This. Everybody, it's on every major news cycle. Soleimani was the leader of the external action arm of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. It's a terrorist organization, okay? Soleimani has long led the regime's efforts for a long time in order to destroy Iran's enemies, and they want to expand their revolutionary arm out there in the Middle East. So Soleimani, in the past, he led an explosive campaign that killed hundreds of U.S. soldiers in Iraq.
Yep.
Soleimani has also supported Bashar Assad's regime with legions of Shiite fighters and other operatives over in Syria. Yeah, Syria.
That's right.
He's also been known to conduct a campaign of bombings,
yep,
assassinations, intimidation all around the world. Nobody denies this.
No.
Soleimani's a master of what's called asymmetrical warfare. Okay? His goal is basically for Iran to take over the entire Middle East.
Yep.
He was a serious threat, and he would continue to be a serious threat if he was alive to the U.S. and our interests. Soleimani also masterminded a failed 2011 plot to blow up a Saudi ambassador and dozens of diners in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm,
but that plot was thwarted. And Soleimani's killing, apparently alongside another terrorist, Abu Mahdi Mohandes, he's the Hezbollah leader responsible for the recent rocket attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq. And so, Terry, I think that what we have here falls within the just war theory.
Absolutely.
In terms of taking out a bad guy who has killed American soldiers in the past and was plotting future killings against Americans. I want to bring in my friend Dan Schneider. He served our country honorably as an army officer. He's been over to the Middle East, so he knows that geographical area. He's also a theologian in the Catholic Church.
Great.
Then he's also one of Father Ripperger's instructors on healing, liberation, and exorcism. So he comes into this field with all kinds of credentials. Dan, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What say Dan Schneider? Was this moral or immoral, Dan?
Yeah. No, I think it was a moral act. If you kind of track, I think there's a couple of issues. One is Thomas divides just war to the jus ad bellum and the jus in bello, the justification to go to war and the justification within war. And in terms of the use of drones, I think it's rather accepted as justified within a just war to use drones. Obama used drones against Anwar al-Awlaki, right, and no one said anything about it whatsoever. And he was even an American citizen, and no one had any problems with it. And now when Trump does this, uses a similar tactic within war, it's considered immoral. That I don't understand. I don't agree with. In terms of the justification for going ad bellum to war, I think you're looking at an individual that by conservative estimates is responsible for the death of over 600 Americans, some of them civilians. He was also responsible for the real true act of war was the attack of the American embassy. The attack U.S. soil, a U.S. embassy on foreign soil is considered American soil. So to attack a U.S. embassy on foreign soil is attack American sovereignty as well. 90%, this guy sponsored 90% of the state-sponsored terrorism was sponsored through this guy. And overall, in general, we've got something like a 90% forced migration out of Iraq by the radicals there of Christians. So those would seem to indicate that there was a just cause for this. When Thomas talks about a just cause, the philosophers would count self-defense against physical aggression as a just cause. So I don't personally see a major issue with it philosophically, although, you know, some of the others might argue, the third really arc of the conversation is the consequentialist will say, well, it's going to cause more harm than good. It's going to cause this ripple effect, the red flag effect, and inciting our friends over there, et cetera. But again, going back to Thomas, the just war, a realist would say the just war, even preemption, is also just in that it provides a deterrent against future aggression. So I see this as again, a quick and dirty analysis falling within the parameters of a just war.
Dan, let me ask you a question. It's Terry Barber. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, I can refer people to paragraph 2309. They can read that. It's basically saying what you just said. It's the just war theory that the Catholic Church has. But some people would say this to you, and I want to hear what you have to say, because I don't think this would happen. Because if some people say, well, this is going to start a war. It's all over the newspapers. Just by killing this man, it's going to start a war with Iran, and many people are going to lose their lives. And I want to ask you a question from a military perspective. I think Iran doesn't want a war, and I'll tell you why, and then you correct me. Because if there was a war, they'd have a regime change, most likely. Those guys in power would not be there after a war with us. Am I right or wrong, or am I dreaming?
I think you're absolutely right. And I think the Catechism also states that the state has the obligation to guard peace. Yep. And right now, so long as we continue to have American lives threatened through this type of state-sponsored terrorism, the state is not doing its job. And at the same time, if we went to war with them, remember, when we went over there, we were told 75% casualty rates in the first 48 hours.
I remember.
We were told that these guys went to it. These guys had a six or seven year war with Iran, the largest standing army. We wiped through them in 72 hours. So if we went to a conventional war with Iran, the technology and the training, it wouldn't last. It wouldn't last 48 hours. It wouldn't last a week. But we're still dealing with somebody who has hired the Mexican cartels to do assassination of foreign officials on American soil. You're dealing with a bad character.
Yeah.
And if they went to war with us and if they allow this to escalate, I think an all-out war with the United States would not be very prudent for what you say, that there would be a regime change over there and cause even more destabilization. So that's kind of my take on it.
All right.
Let me quote one more thing from the Catechism, another verse. It's short. 2265, which it falls under the legitimate self-defense. Here's what it says, and I see this as a template for what President Trump did. It says, legitimate defense can be not only a right, but a grave duty for one who is responsible for the lives of others. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. The president is responsible for the lives of others.
That's right.
As the commander-in-chief. It says, Catechism. The defense of the common good requires that an unjust aggressor, Soleimani, that an unjust aggressor be rendered unable to cause harm. Oh, that's what Trump just did. Catechism. For this reason, those who legitimately hold authority, President Trump, also have the right to use arms to repel aggressors against the civil community entrusted to their responsibility. 2265 covers the actions of this president from a Catholic Christian point of view. And it's funny, if this was Obama who would have done this, there would be no problem. You'd be mm-hmm. hearing crickets this morning.
That's right.
I watched MSNBC last night. Every now and then, I like to see what those that I disagree with are saying. And here's what they had a panel of six people. Here's what they all said. Six people, secular humanist leftists said this. What we did over the weekend were the right moves, wrong commander in chief. Yeah. Y'all catch that?
Yes.
I appreciate the honesty.
Brutally honest.
Yeah.
I love it.
Brutally honest. Six experts from MSNBC in a panel said, right move, wrong commander in chief.
Yep.
Yeah.
So even they're admitting he took out a monster, but we just don't like him.
When Obama took out, through the same technology, this Anwar al-Awlaki, American citizen, by a drone attack, and his teenage son was taken out in the drone attack. Obama was praised as a hero. I think that the panelists that you quote are stating the truth. They do not like it. General Petraeus has gone on record saying this is a greater victory than the killing of bin Laden because of what this guy did. If you're number 601, if you're number 601, you're a big proponent of the just war theory. If you're 601 on this guy's death list, if you're the next guy that's going to be taken out,
you got it.
In a gutless terrorist attack. So no doubt. Again, going back to Thomas, though, Thomas says that the war must be just. All right. And we've talked about the defense against aggression. It must be the last resort. This guy's using human shields. Right. He travels commercial airlines. So and he travels in public places and uses human shields to guard his movement. This is not the action of a soldier. This is the action of a terrorist. It must be declared by a proper authority. Check. It must have the right intention. Defense of American interests and American lives. Check. Reasonable chance of success. Check. And the end is proportional to the means. He didn't go in there and take out an entire Gritzkrieg with a nuclear bomb to kill one guy. The end was proportional to the means. This checks every block in my estimation of the just war theory.
Just war theory.
Terry? Got it. I got one more question. I know that because of your military background, Dan, I think some other countries, like I think of North Korea right now. Do you think Mr. Kim, the director there at the North Korea, who's a horrible dictator? Do you think that this message is getting to him that maybe I better not do something crazy to America? In other words, do you think the world got the message that we got a cowboy in the Oval Office and that you don't want to mess with him? That's my question.
Right. I think carrying a weapon is not the same as using a weapon. And, you know, Jesse has seen my old cavalry saber. And we talk about rattling the saber.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to rattle my saber so everybody knows that I'm rattling and I'm going to say something. You're going to see a lot of posturing. You're going to see a lot of threats.
Yeah.
This is not going to go unrequited. But at the same time, these rogue nations, as Margaret Thatcher called them, these rogue nations and these rogue leaders are going to get the message. It's when America is weak that Islam and radical Islam fills this void. And when they know that we're going to try to seek peace through some weakened way and not use military force in its proper manner.
Well, and let's not forget also that what's the goal of Iran? Iran, in case people are wondering, it's a theocracy. Okay.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. It's a theocracy. What's a theocracy? Theocracy is a form of government in which God or a deity, Allah, is recognized as the supreme ruling authority, giving divine guidance to human intermediaries that manage the day-to-day affairs of the government. They want to impose a caliphate around the world with them ruling the world through Allah's direct, Dan, stay on. We want to continue this conference.
Absolutely. We'll be right back with Dan Snyder talking about what's happening in the Middle East, especially in Iran.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil and the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
This program's rated PG, praise God. You know, I'll tell you somebody else who probably went out and took out bad guys preemptively. I'm sure King David, who fought in dozens and dozens of war, and we know where he's at right now. He's in heaven.
Amen.
Because the Bible actually tells us that in Hebrews chapter 11. David, without a doubt, I'm sure he preemptively took out a lot of bad guys. Tell you who he took out. The Goliath. That was a preemptive strike. Goliath says, hey, me and another Israeli, let's fight one-on-one. Nobody needs to die. Nobody needs to die. If you and me, okay.
Best.
Yeah, so, I mean, there we have a... David says, okay, why should thousands of us die? Let's take out one person, and that's a preemptive strike. So, I'm seeing David did what Trump did. Say, you know what? Why do thousands of people have to die on both sides? Let's just preemptively take out Goliath. Dan, am I theologically all wet?
No, I think that, you know, we know from reading the Old Testament that there's certain truths are out there. You know, we know that David was a warrior king. You know, he was a warrior. And again, I think that's a good example of the soldier going out and doing the king's bidding, but doing what the king has asked. There was I think it was on Fox, but there was a Green Beret interviewed. He said, this was not an act of war. The act of war was the attack on the U.S. Embassy. What this was a good shot. This was David taking five stones because Goliath may have had four brothers. Right. Yep. And so this is being targeted, and again, proportionalism at its best. And this was something that we saw. This wasn't the wholesale slaughter of innocents. This is the scripture you imply is a very good one.
Dan, I have a question for you because I know there's some people saying you guys are way over the top. OK, I mean, I don't want to see violence. I'm going to ask you a question and then you tell me. Somebody comes into your house, Dan, and says, you know, they're going to come and do harm to your wife and children. The catechism says that I have an moral obligation to stop that person. And if it means killing that person while I stop him, well, then that's what happens. It's proportional to what was going on. So my question to you is, what do you tell people when they come to you and say, I'm Catholic, I'm a pacifist, I don't believe in violence, and I think that what we did was wrong? And I know what I would tell them, but I want to hear from your military background, because you've given your life. I know when you serve our country, you are willing to put your life on the line. What do you tell people who say, you know, I just don't believe in violence?
Yeah, it goes back to the catechism, the state's responsibility. It doesn't say the state can, if it would like to, defend the citizens. It has the obligation to defend the citizens. And thanks be to God, there's soldiers, Marines, airmen, and Navy guys, you know, sailors going out there putting their life on the line. There's first responders doing the same thing here domestically. We've got to have these guys.
Yep.
So it's just not realistic. It's Pollyanna to say, well, it's okay for me to let you and your sons go to war or let your son become a cop.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a social theorist at the university and teach corruption. Right. It's one of the things that there was a senator from Chicago. Forget who it was. He was African-American. And
I think I know. Is his name Barack Obama, maybe? Just a guess.
Before him.
Oh.
He put in a law. He tried to pass a law that we would put that everybody to reenact the draft.
Yeah.
Because what was going on is disproportionate number of, you know, of African-Americans, Latino-Americans, yeah. rural Anglo-Americans of the poor are being killed in combat. And it was a clever ruse that he played. But it's going back to your question.
Sure.
It's unrealistic for us to say that we want peace without having to be preparing for war as a society. And we need warriors. And thank God for all you warriors out there that continue to militate for what's right and true, because our cause is just.
Amen.
What we're trying to do is to stop the spread of evil in the world.
Dad, what people seem to forget, even theologically, I'm putting my theological hat on. When Jesus comes back, he's called the Prince of Peace. He's going to come back and enact war on all the unbelieving nations. This is right eschatology, Revelation 19 and 20. Christ is not going to come back and hand out roses to people. He's going
to. If they play that,
the language he says,
make that a movie.
He's going to.
Yeah.
Alan Alda's not playing that part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's going to. The Rock or somebody, you know, that's going to be The Rock. It's going to be John Cena. That's who's going to be playing Jesus in Revelation 19. It's not going to be Alan Alda. It's not going to be one of these rom com guys.
Pee Wee Herman. You know,
Pee Wee Herman. Our Lord is a warrior. Our Lord is a warrior.
That people don't realize.
Spiritually, this is a call for all men to engage spiritually and intellectually in this battle.
Yep.
And we got to vote the right way. We got to vote for somebody who's going to protect our country and protect our interests, especially as Christians, Catholic Christians. Father Frank Pavone, a good friend of the show, he says that we've got the friendliest, the most Catholic-friendly president in the history of my lifetime. We're the same age, my Father Pavone and myself. So he's talking about every president since I was born in 61. This is the most pro-Catholic and pro-life president we've had in my lifetime. Here's another thing that the mainstream media doesn't put out that much. There was massive demonstrations in the streets of Iraq and Syria celebrating the death of Soleimani. Celebrating because the people out there in Syria,
they know.
Iraqi, the commoners, they hated him because they know that he was specifically the one that they call him the shadow. There's a name that they give him. He's called the shadow commander because through asymmetrical warfare, this guy is causing all the disruption in the Middle East because he's trying to set up Iran as the voice of Allah for the entire world.
Oh, sure. That void that was created when Saddam Hussein was taken out of power, Iran has filled that void, and the byproduct has been a loss of Christianity. 90% of the Christians have left that country, and they're not filling it with love and peace. They're filling it by the sword. So what these soldiers are doing, and these Marines, these soldiers, these airmen, these sailors that are out there doing it, these guys, man, they're doing exactly what needs to be done to keep freedom free for us so that we can continue to enjoy, and we owe an obligation to them to be praying for them and all of our first responders as well.
Dan, you know what? This guy Soleimani, look, this one article it says Soleimani spent much of his tenure as Quds Force commander since the late 1990s operating behind the scenes, earning him the nickname of the Shadow Commander. But his public profile has grown considerably since overseeing the direction of Iran's intervention in Syria, and Soleimani has emerged from the shadows to become a revered figure in Iran. You know what this guy Soleimani's doing? He's taken a chapter from Sun Tzu's book, The Art of War, which is deception. Okay? Lie to your enemy. Use deception. This is what he's doing, and this is why he's known in the Middle East as the Shadow Commander. All the little asymmetrical flare-ups that we're seeing through all the Middle East has the fingers of Soleimani, and we've known about this, and this is why all the other presidents have known about this, but they were afraid to say we can't take this guy out and stuff. We don't want any repercussions. This president saw he saw Goliath out there. And he says, you know what?
Yeah.
I know nobody wants to throw the rock. I'm going to throw the rock at Goliath.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah. And the deception, as you know, is also part of the Quran. It's also part of the teachings that they can easily, they're allowed to deceive when need be to further the cause of the caliphate, which is exactly what you're referring to.
I have a question for you, Dan. Another thing, Russia, China, big players in the, you know, arena. I have not heard a word, a peep, anything from China or Russia regarding what took place in Iran or in Iraq with the taking him out with this missile takeout. I'm just questioning. I know they were, we actually communicated with those countries telling them what we were doing to kind of let them know that this is just because of what why we're doing it and how we did it. I'm just curious. Why do you think Russia, who's been supporting in Syria, or excuse me, the Russian support in Syria, why are they not upset at us? Why are they taking a very low-key approach to us right now? Is it because we're being aggressive, or is it just because the way we part our hair?
Yeah, it could be. It could be a combination of both. It could be they're just wisely staying out of it.
Yeah.
And they realize that now would not be a good time to cause further division. And again, I think the aggression in the name of peace to bring about the safety of American citizens, American interests, and American soldiers over there, I think is absolutely just. And and to not act in self defense. You know, a guy comes into your house with a baseball bat and he starts coming after you and your wife and your kids, and to not take him down because there's four guys sitting in the car that may or may not come out, that's not a very wise policy.
I agree.
You got to, you know, we have the obligation as fathers to defend our homes, right? Spiritually and physically. And I think we can't worry about what other countries are doing.
Right. You know, I can name a bunch of saints that preemptively took down bad people, killed them. And they're in heaven right now. King David, Samson. Samson's mentioned in Hebrews. He's in heaven. He took down 3,000 bad people in one fell preemptive strike. He's blind. He goes, you know what? All you guys hate God. You're all pagans. You're all worshiping demons. I'm going to take you all out. And he did.
Yeah, he did.
Where's Samson at right now? He's in heaven. Joshua preemptively strike bad people. Caleb, Moses. These people are all in heaven. So for somebody to say, you can't do something like this, we're supposed to turn the other cheek, that's misreading and misinterpreting the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's going to come back in Revelation 19 and he's going to do harem warfare.
Yeah. Then, well, and don't forget St. Bernard, doctor of the church, doctor of Marian mediation, preaching the crusade. I mean, there's a whole history behind all that as well, but there is grounds for us to defend ourselves and not just be, to just be run over. We got to defend ourselves. We got to defend our interests. This guy's killing Americans indiscriminately. He's making attacks on American embassies. He's persecuting Christians in Iraq, which now we're trying to cause stabilization to the best of our ability there. So I don't have a big issue with it.
Dan,
thanks a lot, brother. We'll have to do this again.
Right.
Keep it up,
right,
brother.
God
love you. Right on. God love you.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you again.
We'll
be right back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. I hope this will help you understand what's going on in the Middle East and to pray for those souls. We'll be back with much more.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoramus Society. Adoramus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Karstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoramus at the Triduum. Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
One of God's titles that many people don't focus on is that God is justice. I know we talk about God being mercy a lot and God is love. Mm-hmm. That's true. But God's also justice. That's one of his Old Testament titles. It's called Yahweh Tasitenu. God is justice. And I'll tell you, Terry, my heart breaks because I was a cop for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to go to courts, and in courtrooms, you have a lady holding these scales.
Yes.
And it's the scales of justice. They call that lady justice.
Uh-huh.
And she's blindfolded. And what that means in a court of law is that we don't care what race or religion you are. Are you guilty? Are you not guilty? Justice is supposed to be blind. That's the ideal. Unfortunately, Terry, it's not blind. Even in our church, the one true church of Jesus Christ, my heart breaks
the humanity
about these two cardinals that have been all over the media in recent times. Cardinal Pell, George Pell, an Orthodox Catholic prelate, faithful to the teachings of Holy Mother Church. Former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, he's not been defrocked, who's had a life of scandal and debauchery. And I'll tell you what upsets me, Terry, is that they've been treated, and they basically, Cardinal George Pell, he was fast-tracked into prison.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, his case was, they put him on the fast track. And here we've known about McCarrick, and we're still waiting. Okay, what's the final? George Pell is sitting in prison for apparently improperly touching a boy in a swimming pool over 40 years ago. Boy, oh boy, I don't know how many guys that I've improperly touched in a swimming pool, or who have improperly touched me, by the way. It's called wrestling in a swimming pool.
Yep. Okay?
That's what guys do. That's what guys do on the beach. We wrestle each other. Boy, oh boy, I guess I can be booked as well. But the point that I'm making is McCarrick, we're still waiting to see what's going to happen with him. And I'll tell you, I think the difference is here, Terry, is that we know that McCarrick, when he was cardinal, he gave the Vatican $600,000 in donations.
Yep.
And I'm just saying, I mean, if you're shoveling that type of money to the Vatican, maybe your case will be stalled forever. I'm just saying.
Well, of course, you follow the money. And that's been my contention, Jesse, that I've been after this, saying we got to find out who were former Cardinal McCarrick's friends, who knew what, and we have not got to that, and we have to keep the pressure on our church to come up with who is all this, who knew about this guy McCarrick, and why did everybody stay so quiet? Was it because there was, you know, financial benefits by staying quiet? I hope not. But you know what? The truth needs to come out. Now, Jesse, back up one thing about Cardinal Pell, who I know personally. I will say that. I've had him, you know, here with my whole family. We've gone to dinner together. So I'm full disclosure. I've met the man. I know he's a solid defender of the faith. But you got to remember one thing about a massive corruption was with the Victoria Police in Australia. they showed that the police used Cardinal Pell's case to distract them from their scandals. That's the big key right here that needs to be addressed. Now, it's going to its final appeal in March of this year. Now it's 2020, and we'll see with the highest court if that can be reversed. But there's no question about it, Jesse. This man has been maligned, and he's in. And you know what, Jess? One more thing I want to say about Pell. He could have stayed in Rome like some other prelates who didn't want to face the music. But knowing that he was innocent, he said, yeah, bring it on. I'd be honored to defend myself because there was no crime. But now with McCarrick, just what you were saying, Jess, just the opposite. So I want to ask right now, as a layman in the church, please get the reports out, because I think there's people sitting in high officials in the Catholic Church thinking that they're never going to be exposed because nobody's going to call them out. I think the investigation has to point out who knew what with McCarrick. And if you were part of McCarrick's program, you need to be defrocked too. But you know what? I'm not in management. I'm in sales, Jess.
Let me give you a retired cops analysis to make it simple.
Yeah, make it.
Cardinal Pell was accused and convicted of improperly touching a boy,
right,
teenager, in a swimming pool over 40 years ago.
Right.
That would be tantamount to Cardinal Pell went shoplifting and he stole a bubble gum at a store. Okay. Now, McCarrick has been, this is already established because there's been large payouts of money.
Yeah.
He's sodomized. The act of sodomy, he sodomized young men, teenagers, and young adults. That would be, Terry, compared to touching somebody in a swimming pool, that would be bank robbery. So here we got. We got a bank robber, McCarrick, who's still out, never seen a day in jail. We've got another cardinal who stole a comb, allegedly, from a store. He's in prison.
That's a good analogy.
This other cardinal is a bank robber. He's sitting in a nice monastery
in
Kansas with
it.
Three squares a day.
Yep.
Talk about injustice. I remember my dad, rest in peace, always told me, told me, and it applies to the Catholic Church now too. My dad told me, don't get so caught up in thinking that there's justice in this world. My dad, very, very simple, says, son, you're going to be dealing with a lot of people that are bad. Don't get me wrong. They're bad, but they have no money to buy high priced lawyers. So they're going to get what they deserve. He says, you will never deal with people that are truly evil because they have all the money in the world never to see a day in jail. I remember my dad told me that when I was in my early 20s.
Yep.
What wisdom? Well, here's where we're seeing it. Cardinal Pell never gave one penny to the Vatican, and so they owe him no favors. So when it came to, hey, you got allegations that you brushed up against a kid in a swimming pool over 40 years ago, go face the music, get out of here. Now, McCarrick, who shoveled almost $1 million into the Vatican as a cardinal, when he needed a favor, he got a favor. Okay, you guys said, "Hey, you got all kinds of accusations back in America. Don't worry, we'll stall it, we'll delay it, we'll hold this in suspension for forever."
Well said, and Jesse,
all of the money.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to say Pope Francis has said at the beginning of the year this report is going to be coming out on McCarrick. And I want to see it, and I'm going to make a prediction. I'm optimistic to see it, but I have a feeling that it's taken so long that there's going to be, this report is not going to say a whole lot. It's just going to say, yeah, there were people, but not naming any names. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a friend of a prophet, but I will say this, that the exposure from McCarrick goes for 40 years, and there are still prelates and bishops and priests who are connected with him. And I want to say, in justice, they need to step down. But we got to find out. And the only way to find out, Jess, is by an objective investigation. Just like you're a police, you go in and say, what are the facts? And let the facts tell the story.
Boy, if McCarrick would have a moment of repentance and metanoia and just say, call in a secretary. I'm going to sing like a canary and tell you what I know for the last 40 years. There'd be so many people, Terry, that would be defrocked all over the world. Terry, a great cardinal was here in Phoenix, Arizona last week. Cardinal Mueller, who's also looking for a job, by the way.
he needs a job. What was he before, Jesse? Tell the people.
He was the prefect for the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. He basically was the successor of Joseph Ratzinger. Yep. But he was dismissed. He was dismissed. He was fired for no. He doesn't know why he wasn't given a reason.
No reason.
Pope Francis.
Right.
He was here last week in Phoenix, Arizona. He gave a talk to thousands and thousands of young adults, young people. There was a the annual Focus conference that was here.
Yep.
And he said some stuff, Terry, that we've been saying for years, and it's good to hear a cardinal saying that you and me we're singing the same tune. He said this: the poison paralyzing the Catholic Church is that we've adapted to the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age.
Well said.
And not the spirit of God. He also said that we should relativize God's commandments and reinterpret the doctrine of the revealed faith. That's the problem. He also cautioned even a number of people in the church without naming names. He says they're longing for a kind of Catholicism without dogmas, without sacraments, and without an infallible magisterium that defends the perennial teachings of the church. Terry, it was music to my ears hearing this man.
And we talked about this on Friday with Matt Arnold, but one thing I really love what he said, and he did it with such dignity too, Jesse. Cardinal Mueller said, I alerted to listeners to the fact that even a few church leaders, yes, who are those church leaders? We know, are confused. You see how generous he is? He doesn't condemn. He said they're confused in relation to attempts to reconstruct the church as a convenient, listen to this, civil religion and make her more worldly, more secular. You see, Jess, what did we just say in the reading at the beginning of this show about secularism? That doesn't support God, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's anti-God.
Exactly.
It comes from the evil one. And this is what he's talking about, Terry. Cardinal Mueller.
Yep.
He says scandals in the church and a crisis among traditionally Christian societies in the West have led many to anxiously wonder whether the rock on which Christ built his church is crumbling. And what he means by that, a lot of people, Terry, the church in Europe is
decimated.
In bad shape.
Oh.
It's in bad shape. The church in America, it's the Europeans look to America for their hope, the hope of a Christian renaissance, a Christian revival. They look to us. Well, guess what? We only got 21% of the people showing up to Mass, Holy Mass on Sunday. And of those 21% of Catholics in America showing up to Holy Mass, Terry, not all of them believe in the real presence. Only about half of them, 33% to 40% of them believe that Jesus is God. When the priest says the words of Christ, puts his hands over the bread and wine, calls on the Holy Spirit, only a third of those attending Mass on Sunday believe that actually becomes Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, divinity.
Jesse, amen. And I would even say those statistics are low. I've been studying this for 40 years, and I'm just going to say it, and I know this is political incorrectness, but I think one of the reasons we don't believe in the real presence is because of communion in the hand and not being able to kneel when we receive. Because I'll say it, Bishop Athanasius said it in his book. Wait, we have a de-Eucharization going on. He's quoting Fulton Sheen. We got to go back to reverence. If we're going to have a belief in the real presence, we can't be receiving Holy Communion like we're going to McDonald's. Jesse, I want to tell you tomorrow, you see this book? Consecration to St. Joseph, bro. This is what we're going to talk about with Father Don Calloway, Marian Helpers. He's got a great book, and I want to show you why St. Joseph should be king in your family in the sense of protector of your family. You'll want to hear it tomorrow with the Terry and Jesse show. Jess, wait a minute, Jess, where are you going to be this weekend? You know where? Here, the
Spiritual Warfare Conference. you can still sign up, Terry. We still got room.
Call 877-526-2151 or go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. We're going to have a great time. Look forward to seeing you there. Jess, what state should we be living in, brother?
Man, Terry, I'm telling you, like no other time, especially right now with what's going on in Iran and stuff, the unrest all over the world.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, Catholics, this is a time to live in a state of grace. This is no joke. Don't gamble with your salvation. Live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. You know what? God can come at any minute, or God can take you at any minute. Be ready.
Amen. Tomorrow, St. Joseph, protector of the family. We're going to talk about him with Father Don Calloway. Don't miss it. Tell your friends. May God richly bless you and your family. Full sheen ahead.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests, Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin most powerful radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.